that metal interview.
And we speak with the original vocalist, the original frontman of Enough is Enough, E-N-U-F-F-Z, N-U-F-F. And for those of you that don't know what's going on there, Donnie V is our guest for today. And Donnie stopped working with Enough's Enough a couple years ago. And he did some solo stuff. Great stuff, by the way. And Chip, bassist for Enough's Enough, has been taking over the lead vocals for Enough is Enough the last few years after Donnie left, in case you didn't know that. And so we speak with Donnie V, and he fills us in on what's going on there, what happened there, and speaks of his solo career, his single, All My Favorite Things. And if you guys haven't heard it, here it is. Let's hear some Donnie V, All My Favorite Things. J-Rocks, That Metal Interview Podcast.
Well, I just found out, and I still don't know what's all the fuss about. If the flowers grow, will I feel all right? All right, but I'm not okay. Okay, why would I choose to fight? Same thing happens anywhere.
It Donnie V's latest single that we are promoting here on J-Rock's Metal Zone. and we welcome you to That Metal Interview podcast once again. Thank you for myself, James, and everybody here at That Metal Interview. And I will stop talking and let's hear our conversation with the great talent, Donnie V. Enjoy.
First of all, congrats on your latest single, All My Favorite Things, in your 30-year career, man. 30 years of music. Congrats.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
How does that feel?
Bittersweet. Makes me feel old. But, no, you know, it's a hell of an achievement, you know. I mean, to have existed this long without having to physically work a day job. It's I'm more proud of how many great records I've made.
Right. Good stuff, man. Good records.
Thank you.
What advice can you give a newer band or a new artist? Is there a formula
for what? Songwriting or for business?
Just business wise, I guess getting out there and getting your record out there, getting recognized.
Yeah, try a different business. either that or you know, have you need money for promotion and exposure, and so the only way to do that is, first of all, you have to have a decent product, a decent sounding product, and then you got to, where if somebody did hear it, they would like it. And then you got to put money and get higher independent promotion and stuff and get it out there so people, you know.
Well, there you go. To the new bands out there, some advice from Donnie. Sounds good. I remember watching the video for Fly High Michelle on MTV back in the day. You were there to experience that with Enough's Enough, of course. How did that feel, man? Any stories you could share?
With the Fly High Michelle?
Well, yeah, that was our success story. The success story, I guess. I mean,
Of that video?
Yeah.
That was our second video.
Okay.
Our very first video was New Thing.
Yeah.
Which was, that had the most impact on me or on the band, because that was our first one we did. And how extravagant and big production and the level of professionalism involved in that, you know, that was really, really monumental in the life. You know, Fly High Michelle, see, that went on to MTV and it went to number one on MTV, and
yeah,
it sat there for 13 weeks till Fly High Michelle bumped it out, our second video. So that was making the second one, Fly Michelle, even though it's cool, I don't think there's some things about it that I thought were pretty cheesy, like the big cotton ball that we're standing on that's supposed to be a cloud that didn't, you know, wardrobe wise, things like that. You know, I think it could have been better in those respects, but it was the same people that did the New Thing, Ralph Zeman and Benji Howell, and they did a great job, you know, and it's very colorful, and I know it, with the songs, it had a lot of impact.
Yeah, I first heard of you guys through the Michelle song. That was the first time I heard you guys, so that was some badass stuff, man. Awesome music.
Thank you. That's probably still how anybody's hearing of us, that same song.
Right? I got to see, I'm in Texas, I got to see Enough's Enough Without You, of course, with Chip on vocals, and they sound good. I mean, it's a different voice, but it's, you know, but to me, you're the original, you know. But
I don't know how you can call that Enough's Enough. It's not Enough's Enough. It's Enough's Enough songs,
right?
You know, but because like if I go to see a band, I want to hear what I hear on the records. I want to hear what I love about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's not the same for me. But the current lineup in Enough's Enough, they're all great players.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a good band. It's powerful. It's tight. It's together. Yeah. The only thing that's missing is the guy.
Exactly. You.
Yeah.
I did know you weren't going to be there. This is a couple of months ago, right before the pandemic. They played here in right close to San Antonio. And I went there, and I was expecting you. I knew you weren't there anymore, of course, but I thought you were going to be there, but I don't know. It sounded good, of course.
Was it their own show, or were they on with other bands?
It was their own show. It was their own show.
Yeah.
A promoter here brought them. I think they were coming in from Houston or something like that, and they were swinging by, I think, you know.
But, yeah, they're doing a lot of saturating. They, from what I understand, they play a lot of shows.
Yeah.
You know, see, that wouldn't be my preference to do. I would, if I was playing with him, I would want to do less shows, but bigger shows.
Right.
You know, things that have more impact. You know, you can make more money and present it as a more integral presentation. Because enough's enough. You know, it's a great band. It was we had a lot of great records and stuff. And it, you know, it's to play all these, you know, these smaller places and they're not full, and for the little bit of money you're getting,
yeah.
I think it devalues, and as where you could be playing, you know, some big shows, but less of them, and make more money, and just make, you know, present everything as have more integrity and a larger scale. But that's what he wants to do, so that's cool.
Yeah, I guess that's cool. It was okay.
I'll be coming around as soon as the pandemic's over and stuff. We were just rehearsing my live band to go out there and play shows and stuff. And I'm doing like a 3-hour show of, you know, I mean, it won't be those same, you know, of course there'll be Fly and Michelle and new thing and stuff in it, but it won't be that same set list. It's going to be, touch on to 20 some records,
yeah.
You know, that I've did with Enough's Enough, that I've written with Enough's Enough or on solo, and you know, give plus feature this brand new stuff and beautiful things, and you know, okay, I want to give you something really special, and you know,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that, to see you guys in
waiting for
yeah me. Can't wait for that. I play some guitar myself, and I love the progressions you use in your writing, man. Where do you get your ideas from? These are real cool progressions, man.
I have to honestly say it's a combination of all my influences that I grew up studying and listening to that, and I really firmly believe, and I've said it all along, that there's a higher source that gives me these ideas, that gives me these messages, and these, you know, they just pop into my head. It's unbelievable how it works. You'd have to actually be me to understand how that happens. But I think I'm kind of like an antenna. You know what I mean? I do the physical aspects of things, but there's a higher source that gives me a lot of these ideas.
Now, that was one of my questions right there. Do ideas just pop into your head, or can you just sit down randomly and write a song or a riff or a lyric or whatever? But there you go. That's a good answer right there.
It's just sitting down and deciding, all right, today we're going to work. Today I'm going to write a song. That's no good. That doesn't work for me. And that's, you know, it's when they come and they tell me it's time to do it. I get to work, you know, and
wow.
And they come in waves.
Really? Wow. That's so cool.
yep.
I'm a fan of the song Mrs. Vanderbilt V8. Talk to us about that song and give us an update on V8.
V8 was just a one-time kind of deal with a good friend of mine, Baz Francis in England. I met him through an Us Enough show, and he just became a real dear friend, you know, a brother or a sister, whatever you want to consider him. But he was very good to me. He took very good care of me when I was overseas, and he and I did like a whole acoustic tour of like 8 countries and stuff. And so I had that song teetering around in my head that I didn't put it on the, I had the idea of it, and finished it up with him. And, you know, he played on it a little bit, and we got another guy to mix it and stuff. And that song's about my mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it actually got a Grammy nomination, and I was in jail during that.
Really? Wow. What a story right there, man.
Yeah. Well, there's all stories, you know. I mean, there's a story for almost every day of the week in my life.
That's cool, man.
Man, sometimes.
Is there something you regret, something you would change that you've done in your career, something you would change?
Yeah, 2 things. Number one, I would have stayed. I would have got my. Well, actually, 3 things. I would have should have got my baggage and my issue, my childhood. Should have got that attended to and handled before I got into the business. Second of all, that would have led to me not medicating like I did with the drugs and the alcohol, which led to me not being on top of my business and inconsistent. And it did. I mean, I did deliver the records and the songs. I kept writing the songs and I kept doing the shows and stuff, which, you know, but I wasn't present in my mind to be clear. And a third thing would be never have worn that glam stuff.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't bad. You know, that's part of the, you know, the fashion, you know, that was cool.
Yeah, but it was the end of an era when we came out and did that. People were listening with their eyes and not their ears, and we didn't need that stuff, and we shouldn't have been lumped in with those kind of bands at that time. We were a totally different band, totally different music, totally different style of writing, and we dressed differently, and we presented it, you know, a lot more normal, just natural. Like with Clive Davis, he told me later, years after that, that anytime I do anything that's not 100% natural, I start taking away from what I do. I start making it less. And had we done that, probably would have carved a niche that didn't change or wasn't affected by the times, you know what I mean? And the different looks and, you know, like somebody like Tom Petty or U2 or something like that, they, you know, they're forever them. You know what I mean? No matter what else is going on. And that's what should have happened. But for just like the same source that gives me these song ideas is, you know, there's some reason why that happened, you know?
So what do you pin the reason for leaving Enough's Enough? For the people that don't know, what happened there?
Just to put it in a short form, I felt like I couldn't evolve and I couldn't grow anymore in that situation. I didn't feel I was able to present what I wanted to present in the best, you know, to give my best that I could, the best I could do. Chip and I had been together for so many years, and each of our personal issues had grown on each other so much, and we stuck together through so much bullshit and through the, you know, the down years and the up years and the more down years, and it's just, it wore on us. And he has a different way of looking at things than I do, and as far as the creative, I needed the freedom to 100%. You know, and present the visions that I hear and I see, and I needed to keep growing and keep evolving, and like I'm doing.
Well, you're producing good music, man. Good stuff. I heard your solo stuff. Real good stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, a great song, the new one, "Strangers in My Head," with the band, of course. Enough's Enough. Talk to us about that song and how that collaboration with Chip came about.
I have that song, you know, I have a lot of new stuff that I've already demoed. It was a big wave came right after Beautiful Things, after I got out of the hospital. I almost died. I was in there for a month, and a big wave of these song ideas came to me, and I recorded about 10 or 15 of them. Some of them were heavier than the direction that I'm going now, and just for my emotional state of mind and being, so I have no regrets for the future. I reached out to him and we talked, and the pandemic was starting, and you never know who could not be alive in a few months. You know what I mean? So it was, just wanted to, and for the fans, so they could get at least one song, you know, that for what they've known and they've loved and they've grown up listening to. You know, he was receptive to it, and we tracked it together. We were, you know, I'd send it to him, he'd play his parts, and then I'd do my stuff, and then we'd send it over to, because you don't have to be in the same room to do stuff anymore. And I hadn't seen him in 5 or 6 years. I just saw him not too long ago. I actually went to his house rode my bike over there, but it was, you know, it was the old chemistry. It sounded like it, the old enough's enough, you know, where it picked up where Dad had left off. But his interests, that's not what he's interested in doing anymore. He wants to be the lead singer. He wants to write the songs. He wants to do things his own way and at the pace that he's doing it. You know, and I'm not interested in doing that extensive grinding my head into the ground. You know, it's not good for me mentally or physically or sobriety or anything like that. And he wants to do that. And I understand he needs that name to get work so that he can make a living. And so, you know, it's just... I don't know what I'm saying, you know, but I'm hopeful that there still could be possibilities for the future. You know, he was my best friend and my brother for a long, long time. And like anybody that spends that much time together and goes through that much different shit, you eventually need to, you know, do your own things. And we'll see what happens for the future.
Okay. Yeah. That was one of my questions too. What can fans expect from Donnie and his solo career, or is there hopes for, you know, joining Enough's Enough on a tour or something? What can fans expect?
Well, that all depends on circumstances. You know, if there's a reason, you know, a really good reason for me to do something with Enough's Enough, and we work out some kind of agreement or arrangement, and, you know, I would be open to, you know, recording some songs again with him and playing some, you know, some decent shows, you know, not a lot of them, but, you know, a few that would make sense. And, but aside from that, I got another single coming out next month that I believe is probably the one song I've been trying to write for 30 years. It will have the most mass general appeal. You know, it's kind of a rock anthem, and nice. It's called Party Time.
Party Time.
And I plan to just kind of basically release singles now for a while, and instead of making a whole record, because it just doesn't make sense to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'll be playing out. I'll be doing some live stream performances in next month, and as soon as the pandemic lifts or you know, people are going to concerts again, I'll be out there playing. And as far as Enough's Enough, we'll see what happens, you know.
Here's a different question. What's your favorite song you've written or recorded?
That's a really tough one. You know, we're looking at, you know, about 300 songs that have been released, and there's probably, I would have to say, maybe it was my very first song that started everything going. The first song I wrote and recorded was still pretty good. But that one meant the most. But my favorite one to sit and listen to, I'd have to say, is Maybe I Could Save the World.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a badass jam. Yep. What's on your playlist? What does Donnie listen to when not writing or recording?
I'm watching binge watch TV series and TV shows and movies and stuff. I don't really listen to music when I'm not recording.
There you go. Good answer. Cool.
Here, let me correct that, though. I love Bruno Mars. I like Lady Gaga. I like a couple of these new things that are. I love that guy, Post Malone. I like him. You know, I like things like Squeeze, Elvis Costello, Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith. I like all that kind of stuff. But
nice. Would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Yeah, I miss Texas. Everything I do is for you. You guys and you give me a purpose to live. I can't thank you enough, and I'll never let you down.
Thank you. Thank you, Donnie. Thank you for your time. And keep rocking and keep busting out those hits and singles. We'll jam them here on J-Rocks, and we'll see you on the road soon, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for thinking of me, and my pleasure.
We hope you guys enjoyed our interview, our chat with Donnie V, the tremendous talent of Enough is Enough. And now, on his own, and his solo stuff, great stuff, pick up the stuff, stream the stuff. Stream Mr. Donnie V. And also, as a rock fan, you should also support Enough's Enough with Chip on vocals. Great stuff, too. And, of course, that duet, that invitation, Donnie V was a part of the collaboration there on the latest Enough is Enough. Check that out, too. And on behalf of myself, James, thank you for joining us. Look us up on social media, our YouTube channel. Subscribe. Ring the bell for notifications, this and that. Follow us on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Tune in. Radio and this and that and this and that and this and that. Thank you and keep rocking and don't forget to keep it metal.
That metal interview.